So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we worship you this morning because you are here. And you haven't left us alone. But you came at Christmas time. And you lived here through Easter. And then you've continued on at the Father's right hand, and you've sent your Spirit to instruct us about your word, which you left behind for us as we follow as your church between now and when we see you face to face. So Jesus, we continue to pray for your comfort in our times of grief. We pray that we be encouraging to one another, and so much the more, and until that day that we see you face to face. We're grateful that we can talk to you. We're grateful that we can care for one another. We're grateful that you can shine, that we can shine your light in this community and in this world. Like our brothers and sisters have before us, Lord, may we be faithful to you and to the calling you've given us until you call us home. And so, Lord, would you speak to us once again this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Queen Jezebel was the wicked witch, not of the West, but of Israel. She was the Cruella de Vil of her day. She was legendary for evil. She rode her broom into Israel, and she enticed them away from the calling that God had given them. They were to display the Lord and the way and his way of life to the nation so much that they would be attracted to him. And she said, "Oh, why don't you just forget about that?" And she said, "Why don't you worship these good idols that we have all around us, like the nations around? And why don't you live like they live and like we live and like I did and do in the neighboring country?" And God's people they followed her example. They followed her call to them, and they became as evil and more evil than the nations around them. And that led to disaster in Israel. And Jesus looks at the early church, the first generation of Christians in modern day Turkey, and he said, You guys look like you're following a wicked witch again. It's like you're following Jezebel all over again. What is wrong with you?" And in those verses that Sue read at the beginning of the service, the book of Revelation pictures Jesus up high on the throne. And as she read, it caught my ear that the candlesticks, which represent the churches, they were surrounding the throne. But then as we move into chapter 2, Jesus steps down off the throne and he starts to walk among the candlesticks, the churches in Asia Minor, what we call Turkey today. And he says, I got a little evaluating to do. I got something to say to each of you. And so in the first one, he went to Ephesus and he said, you used to have a heart for me, but somehow, he said, your heart, your love has gotten distracted. He said, you've lost your first love. He said, I want to get that love back. And then he went to Smyrna and he said, you guys are going through tough times. He said, I don't have anything to criticize you for, but he said, I don't want you to get discouraged, so remember the riches that you have in me. And then he went to Pergamum and he said, you guys are trying to have it both ways. You say you love me, but you love the world around you. You're getting distracted. He said, I want you. He said, I want you to come back to me and to be full-hearted for me. And then he walked over to Thyatira, walking among the candlesticks. Now, see, you guys are chasing old Jezebel. You're committing adultery with Jezebel, that wicked witch, all over again. And he said, I want you to get things right. I wonder what he'd say if he walked among our churches today. I wonder what he'd say if he were to come to Valley View this morning. And he walked up and down our aisles and he said, here's the good stuff and here's the things that I want you to look at. Well, let's consider the appraisal of the Lord in Thyatira, because he gave us these examples for all of time, for us to look at today and say, okay, so how are we doing today? He said to them, he said on the positive side, he said, you guys are doing some good stuff. He said, I'm really happy for the good things that you're doing. He said, you're very busy. He said, you've got a lot of love for each other that's growing for each other. He said, your faith is strong. He said, I love how you're serving and how you're persevering. He said some similar things to what he said to Ephesus. But he's saying it with these laser eyes and burning feet. You see, the people in Thyatira, they were metal workers. You know, actually probably similar to some of the things that have gone on in this neck of the woods and over toward the west a bit. They knew about furnaces. They knew what it was like to burn some hot metal. And so when Jesus talked about looking at them with laser eyes and saying these things to them, and when he talked about burnished bronze feet, they knew what they were talking about. They're saying, oh yeah, he's got laser eyes and he's looking right through to our hearts. He's telling us what's really going on. He's not pulling any punches. He's swift to the race. And I wonder what he would say to us today. I wonder what he'd say to us if he looked at the good stuff that was going on. What would his laser eyes see? Would there be some similarities to our brothers and sisters way back in Thyatira? Could it be that he sees love is rising to the surface among us? I look at some of our ladies in the back row, and I love seeing the love that they have among each other. They've got this network. It's been going on for years, and they keep in touch with each other. They know a lot of what's going on with each other, and they care for each other. They love each other. They call each other. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And some of our community groups, all of our community groups, loving each other through the week, caring for each other through the week. And even on Sunday mornings, I had a missionary say to us, maybe it was the Danikers. They're coming back this fall. One of the missionaries was here, and everybody was just hanging around. They said, does this happen every week? I said, yeah, it happens every week. They said, this is unusual. I said, it is. They said, yeah. They said, this doesn't happen in every church. I said, well, that's great. Our folks, we love being together. And it's good. And faith. We come through some hard times and we're working through them. But, those that are here, our leaders say, man, they're sticking with the stuff, fully committed, in with all fours and more, and serving the stuff that people do around here, keeping things going, morning, noon, and night, mowing lawns and doing sound and lights and giving, and I better stop right there because there's children's ministry, and youth ministry, new things, all kinds of things. We're working very, very hard and we're persevering and we thank God for that. We're really busy right now, maybe in some ways more busy than we should be, but we're working hard. And I think if the Lord with his laser eyes and his quick running feet of his was to run and say, hey, here's what I see. I think he would see some good things, some good things like he saw in Thyatira. But on the other side of the ledger, as they would say. They were putting up with Jezebel. Jesus, as he ran to them and he shone his laser eyes on them, he said, I don't like what I'm seeing here. Now, Jezebel was a queen who had married King Ahab, who was not a particularly good king, was a bad king to start with, but when she came over, she brought evil into the palace and into the empire. I mean, into the kingdom. And, they started worshiping Baal. They started worshiping idols in a whole new way. They started sleeping around in a whole new way. They started intermarrying with people that didn't love the Lord in a whole new way. They started going off the cliff spiritually into the realm of evil because of Jezebel. And Jesus says, I see this going on in Thyatira. So here was the situation in Thyatira. They were in it. Now remember, this is the first generation of Christians. Many of these folks probably had made some of them could have fled Jerusalem. They could and landed, and that might be how the church began there. They're now in modern day Turkey. But in order to do business, they had to be part of the Metalworkers Guild. And here's how the metalworkers, now remember, this is a city like the others in that area that was pagan and was linked to idolatry everywhere. In order to be a member of the Metalworkers Guild, we would call it a union today, they had to meet with the guild members. And the way that the place that they met was in the pagan temples. And so in the pagan temples, there's a barbecue going on there with the meat that have been sacrificed to idols. There's immorality going on because often in those temples, people had to sleep, in order to get the pagan gods to do things, so to speak, they had to sleep with the temple prostitutes. It was a red light district and a half. It was awful. And what was being said was that people had to compromise in order to do business there. And so they were living one way on Sunday and a different way from Monday to Friday, following the ways of the wicked witch. And Jesus said, I don't like this. But what was happening, there were teachers that were coming along and saying, well, you know what? This is a new way. You got to compromise. You got to give in. We know more than what the apostles are talking about. We got insights that are above. You can live both ways. You can have your foot in both camps. And Jesus says, I'm ready to put an A for adultery on your chest. You remember Hephzibah in the Scarlet Letter? Okay, some of you guys, you're going to read the Scarlet Letter in middle school or in high school. You're going to get to that letter. That's a classic in literature. And Hephzibah's a young woman in colonial New England who's accused of adultery. And her punishment is to wear a big A on her chest. And Jesus is saying, that's what's happening with you. You got a big A on your chest. He said, and I don't like it. He said, you are wrong. And I wonder what Jesus would say if he was to come to us. He says to them, he says to us, beware of tolerating Jezebel in the church. We have people that come to us, don't they? And they say, you know, we got these new ways of thinking. We got some ideas that are kind of some new ways of looking at Scripture. Maybe some shady ways of looking at Scripture or looking at life. Maybe some secret ideas that Nobody has known, but now 2,000 years later, somehow we have these ideas in the heart of the internet or on this podcast, and this way you can have your cake and eat it too. You can live both ways. We got a cable TV program, or we've got a a news program or a talk program, and we got this new way of looking at things where you can put these adulterous ways with Jesus ways, and you can have your cake and eat it too. And so we're hearing people talk about LGBTQ issues and abortion and sex outside of marriage and immigration and other religions and how all of these things come together, and how do they come together with this book? Well, I want to suggest some ways of keeping Jezebel out. It comes back to what Martin Luther called sola scriptura. That's Latin. That's all the Latin I know. My wife took Latin, but I never touched Latin. But I know what it means is sole scripture. Only scripture. Only the Bible. That's where we go. And that's how we keep Jezebel out of the church. Now, here's what happened to Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. Now, there was only one church in those days. You could say, I mean, Martin Luther was Catholic. Everybody was Catholic in those days because there was only one Christian church. Well, okay, mostly, okay, generally speaking. And what happened was the church in those days, there were some corrupt people in the church who decided that they wanted to make some money. They were trying to build some cathedrals. And so they decided to sell some tickets to heaven, what they called indulgences. And they said, okay, you know, if you'll just give us some money, then you can go to heaven. Okay, and Martin Luther looked at, and they were raising money that way to build some great, big, wonderful new cathedrals. And Martin Luther was reading his Bible, and he said, I don't see that in here. He said, it says that salvation is by grace through faith alone. He said, I don't see that in here. And they said, well, you know, you got to be flexible. You know, we're raising money for the church. He said, I don't see it in here. And they got mad at him, and they put him in jail. And Martin Luther didn't want to start a group of Protestant churches, but he protested, and that's what happened in time. Now, the Catholic Church had some things they got right, too. They had a reformation of their own. But he said, this book has got to come first. And that's what we have got to do with all of these issues that are before us today. And so, how about the issue of immigration? Well, go to this book and say, okay, what does this book say? Often this book talks about sojourners. It talks about aliens. What does this book say about that? And start with that. What does it say about personhood? What does it say? It says a little bit. What does it say about people that are not born yet, but in their mother's womb? What does it say about sexuality? What does it say about gender? What does it say about Jesus and the uniqueness of Jesus? What does it say about human government and how we, as followers of Christ, relate to that government? We start with this book, and we don't take scissors and paste like even one of our founding fathers did, and say, "Well, you know, I don't like this section about the virgin birth or these parts that are hard, the miracles." No, we don't cut it out. We take the whole thing, and we believe the whole thing. Now, if you need some help finding out where these things are, then ask somebody. I'd be glad to help. There's many folks that follow Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus together, to figure these things out together. But ask somebody, well, where do I find this stuff in the Bible? But there's some basics of all of this stuff in the Bible. And then ask, and then as you start to look at sources, then ask whether they're sola scriptura people. Are they people that, whoever you're looking at, whoever you're listening to, whether it be somebody you know, and I'd encourage you to start with people that you know, rather than some little person with a website in their basement. But ask, do they really believe in this book? And if they believe in this book, then you're on common ground. And then decide on areas that are black and white, areas that we can agree on, and areas that are gray. Areas that Christians who love the Lord can agree on. And be curious about other people's viewpoints. It's okay to disagree about things, even among people, especially among people that honor this book. We have examples of that throughout the scripture. People that have differing viewpoints, they love the Lord, but they have to be curious about them, and even be curious about people outside of this book. That's not bad. And then let's love each other. That's what we see in this book, is because of Christ that we can love each other even where we disagree. When I was a student, I grew up in a pretty conservative home. And I went to a Christian college in my mother's hometown. And I had a professor there by the name of Mr. Rung, who had grown up with my mother, went to the same church. So I knew he loved the Lord. I knew that he honored the scriptures and everything. And he got up he rooted his view of history in scripture. And so he started with Genesis chapter 1. I remember him writing that on the board. And he ended up on the far left. And my jaw dropped. And I thought, my goodness, how can you do that, Mr. Rung? But you know something? When I was at that school with Mr. Rung and with some others, all of whom believed in this book, deeply in this book, and in Jesus, I found out that Christians can disagree about things. Sometimes big things. Even when they honor the Lord and when they honor this book. And I learned with my political party to look on the platform and say, okay, now how many of these things are actually from scripture and how many are just maybe some good ideas, which I may or may not agree with. And I learned to read things that I disagree with. And to talk to people that I disagree with, especially among the people of faith, but even beyond that, because I can learn. I often learn more from people and sources I disagree with than ones that I do agree with. And I'm secure enough in Christ so that I can do that. I can stand on this book and follow the Lord and make sure that we're believing that we're, you know, the Alliance, especially our group of churches, is big on Christ being at the center of everything and having the basics of the faith in common, which is the Trinity and who Jesus is and who humanity is and all that stuff. But then letting the areas where Christians disagree just be off to the side and say, you know, we can live with each other. We can love each other with things that we're not completely sure of until we are with Jesus. You see, we worship Christ and only Jesus. We follow Christ and only Jesus. We follow Christ, not other people. Others can help us, but they need to point us to Jesus. We worship Christ. We don't even worship the Bible. The Bible gets us to Christ. And so we can have ambiguity in this already but not yet kingdom that we're in. Because Christ is on the throne and Jesus is gonna, he's gonna get his, send his, he's gonna make all things right in the end. So what do we do? with Jezebel. Well, Jesus says, I want you to know that my patience one day is going to end. He says he's going to throw Jezebel, that wicked witch, and her loves and her children onto a flaming bed. He says there's going to come a day when you realize that my laser eyes were right. You see, I think what he's talking about here, he's not talking about law that we're going to lose our connection to Jesus. But we'll find out who really knows him and who doesn't. And those of us who do know him will not lose our salvation, but we may lose the blessing of fully following him. I come from New England, as you know. New England was a place like this area of great blessing of God. As God moved through the Great Awakenings and the Second Awakening, as he moved through that area and people came to Jesus all over the place, like he did up all up and down the East Coast. But you know what they called New England? The graveyard of the church. Because you drive all through those roads and you see church after church after church that is closed, or as dead as a doornail, or as a gift shop. And the church is just struggling in New England. And I wonder if the Lord just took the candlestick away. He said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done in that area. That's what happened in this area. If you go over to Turkey today, the church is really, the church is persecuted there. This whole area, all you're going to find is foundations. Not even actual foundations of the churches, but foundations of those cities. There's nothing that's there anymore. And the church is nearly absent throughout the nation of Turkey today, though we're praying for God to do something all over again. And I wonder if the Lord, would he do that in our area? Would he do that across our nation? Because we're sleeping with Jezebel. We care more about popular opinion. We care more about all kinds of other things than we do about the Lord himself. That's his warning. His patience will end one day. But the encouragement that he gives is to hold on until he comes back. If we follow the Lord completely, he says that we will then enjoy the blessings of being part of his greater story. And he said that our reward will be twofold. He said, number one, that we will reign with him, not just in eternity, but we will reign with him now, that we will have the opportunity to display his reign. What does life under the reign of Christ look like in our world? What does it look like in our church? What does it look like as we shine his light everywhere? And then the other thing that he says that he will give us is the morning star. Now, I talked to Alan Arnold, our resident physicist, this week. And he told me, yeah, okay, you got this morning star thing right. I think I do. Okay, so the morning star, what he said, or the morning star is that star that appears over the horizon before daybreak. He said it's probably Venus. But he said it's that star, so-called, that gives us hope that the sun will rise. And Jesus says elsewhere, he says, I'm the morning star. And he says, if you'll stick with me, which you will, he says, by my grace, he says, then I will be your hope that you're going to get through and my kingdom's going to get through until you see me on the throne forever and ever. And so he says, if you got ears, listen to what I got to say. Beware of the wicked witch. Beware of Jezebel. Don't run after her. Run after me with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. Love me. You see, at the end of the Scarlet Letter, what's interesting, I had to look that up again this week, folks, okay? I'm grateful for the internet. At the end of the Scarlet Letter, you remember what happened? So Hephzibah, the lady with the A on her dress, her accusers are shamed. The man who'd gotten her pregnant has an A on his chest as well. She comes back to the town. She's admitted her part in the sin. She wears the A the rest of her life. But she and her son are blessed in that town as people that are forgiven and made new. So as we come to Jesus this morning, I say, Jesus, you know, with your laser eyes, Lord, you see that I've been chasing the wicked witch. Lord, forgive me for chasing the wicked. Lord, she's been so entangled. Lord, but it's not how good she is. It's how weak I am. It's how weak we are. But thank you that you, the one with the laser eyes, came and you died for us so that we could be forgiven and know you forever, so that we might reign with you and we might be people of hope, people who cling to the morning star in the darkness of night. Let's pray together. Well, Lord Jesus, we're grateful for the hope that we have in you. Lord, you know some of the hard times we're going through. But Lord, we're so grateful to know you. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sin. Lord, there's lots to talk about there. Forgive us, Lord, for getting distracted. Lord, forgive us for running after evil influences. Forgive us for trusting in anyone or anything except you. And Lord, may we keep our eyes on the horizon. May we cling to the star and the one will bring us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.